Friends, my sermon this morning is about the cross of Christ. The cross of Christ. You know, Paul made a wonderful statement in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Paul made the following statement. Paul said, "For I am determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." I'm going to repeat this. Listen to this statement of Paul on Good Friday. "For I am determined to know nothing amongst you except Jesus Christ and Him as the crucified one." You know, friends, Good Friday is all about a great Savior dying for great sinners. A great Savior dying for great saviors. Good Friday is all about the cross of Christ. And you know what amazes me about Good Friday is the following. And this is God reaching out to us. Friends, not so much we reaching out to God, but God reaching out to us lovingly, graciously. He reaches out to us, a sinful, rebellious, lost, self-centered people. He's reaching out to us and He rescues us. He reconciles us. He makes us His own through Christ's perfect sacrifice on the cross. Now that's good news. Friends, I want to say that the gospel is the good news of Good Friday. Let's just close our eyes and pray. Lord, we worship You for the cross of Christ. Lord, I can only testify that Your love is truly indescribable. Your sinless Son dying on the cross for sinful people. Your Son receiving Your righteous judgment. Your Son removing our trespasses. Your Son redeeming us with His own precious blood. You made Him who knew no sin to be sin, to be made sin, so that we can become the righteousness of God. Father, it's the prayer of my heart that You may bless Your word, that You may exalt Your Son, that You may encourage Your children, and even that You may save people in this very morning on Good Friday. And I pray this in Your most precious name. Amen. Friends, I want us to go to the second book of Corinthians. Our scripture reading will be from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, from verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, from verse 14. The cross of Christ. Verse 14. "For the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And He died for all, so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died and rose again on their behalf. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh. Yet now we know Him in this way no longer." Verse 17. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Friends, my sermon outline as follows. First and foremost, the cross of Christ is a revelation of God's love. The cross of Christ is a revelation of God's love. Secondly, the cross of Christ results in salvation. Thirdly, the cross of Christ, very important, glorifies God alone. It's not about us. It's all about the glory of God. The cross of Christ calls each one of you that confesses that you're a Christian. The cross of Christ calls you, my dear brother and sister, to be an ambassador for Christ. That we may share this good news of the cross with every person in word and in deed. And lastly, the cross of Christ is the heart of the gospel. I want to start. Friends, you know the wonderful thing about the cross of Christ is that the cross of Christ reveals God's heart, reveals God's love. Let's go to verse 14. Again, verse 14, Paul says the following, "For the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died." Friends, why was Paul so passionate about Christ? Whenever I think about a person that's passionate about Christ, I'm reminded of Paul. But why was Paul so passionate? You know, when you read Philippians chapter 1, Paul makes the following tremendous statement. Paul says the following. Paul says, "But for me to live is Christ." What a statement. "And to die is gain." And you friends, you know, the reason why Paul was so passionate about Christ is because Christ introduced himself to Paul as the great Savior for great sinners. You don't have to go there. I just want to quickly read this for us. Acts chapter 9. Why was Paul so passionate about Christ, friends? Because Jesus Christ introduced himself to Paul as the great Savior on the road to on Damascus. Acts chapter 9, quickly going to read for us from verse 1. Listen to this introduction. The Lord Jesus is introducing himself to Paul as the great Savior. Acts chapter 9. "Now Paul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked for letters from him to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, both men and women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he was traveling, it happened that he was approaching Damascus. And suddenly," here's the introduction, "and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him, and he fell to the ground, and he heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' And Paul said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And he said, 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting.'" You see, friends, Paul Paul hated, Paul despised, Paul persecuted the people of the way. The people of the way is Christians, followers of Christ. And you know, this same Jesus that Paul persecuted loved him to the utmost. He died for him on the cross. You know, Paul uses this word. Paul makes this statement in verse 13. I just want to go to verse 14 again. Paul makes this statement. He says, one died for all. One died for all. Friends, I want to tell you, this is the greatest motivation to love people sacrificially. Friends, you must remember, it is not only Paul that was called to be controlled to the love of Christ. Every one of us sitting now in this auditorium, every one of us that has truly repented and put our trust in Christ needs to be controlled by the love of Christ. We see Paul's greatest motivation. One died for all. Friends, this is the message of Good Friday. Jesus died in my place. I don't know about you, but this is just an overwhelming thought. I told Pastor Tiny this morning, it's just, how can it be, friends? Jesus died in your place, in my place. Jesus died, and He died for my sin, for your sin, for the sins of the whole world. And you know what? He received that righteous judgment that I was supposed to receive. And He took God's punishment. And He took my punishment, friends. And He took your punishment. And you know what? What was the end result? He satisfied God's perfect righteousness. Friends, nobody can satisfy the righteousness of an awesome, perfect, holy God except His sinless Son. You see, something Paul knew Jesus Christ personally as the great Savior. And you know something that amazes me about Paul? When you read the epistles of Paul, you'll find Paul making the following statement. Paul will say, I am a sinner. But you know what touched my heart is the following. At the end of his life, Paul made the following statement. Paul said, I am the greatest of all sinners. Friends, I want to encourage you. If you're a young Christian, maybe you're a sinner. But friends, if you follow Christ obediently, day by day, you will find that you will become the greatest of all sinners. I've said many a times, when the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin, we see ourselves as God sees us, friends, not as the people sees us. So Jesus took God's punishment, and Jesus alone satisfied the perfect righteousness of God. And friends, because Jesus introduced Himself to Paul as the great Savior, Paul was taken captive. Paul was controlled by the love of Christ. Oh friends, may we pray and may we plead with God that we would be taken captive on Good Friday, because one died for all. I want to go to verse 15 quickly. Verse 15. Remember, the cross of Christ reveals the love of God. Verse 15. And He died for all, so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died and rose again on their behalf. You know, Saul was the persecutor. The Paul that we know was Saul the persecutor. But friends, he was transformed by this reality. He died for all. I love that verse. It states, so that we might no longer live for themselves, but for him. You see, Paul's life was not his own anymore, brothers and sisters. Paul's life didn't belong to himself. Paul now, when Jesus introduced himself to Paul as a great savior, Paul belonged to Christ. He belonged to Christ. And friends, you know, we are living in challenging times. We are living in a postmodern society. We are living in the age of man. I've jokingly said many a times, who's our best free friends many a time? It's me, myself, and I. And friends, this is the world that we live in. We are living in the age of man. But friends, if you know Christ as the one that died on the cross, as the one that died for all, you don't belong to yourself. We belong to Christ. You know, at heart, the essence of sin is all about self-centeredness. That's ultimately the heart of sin, is the middle word of sin. It's I. But friends, you know what? Christ belongs in our hearts. He needs to be the center attraction. Let's go to verse 16. Let's read verse 16. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet we know him in this way no longer. God reveals his love. Paul says, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh. You see, Paul's whole outlook on life was radically changed. Radically changed. I remember some years back, I think maybe 15 years back, I was working in Mpumalanga province at a place called Komati Poort, next to the Kruger National Park. And while I was working in Komati Poort, I met a man from a sect called the White Israelites. I don't know if you've heard about the White Israelites, but I've met this man. And, you know, the White Israelites believe that the Afrikaner, like myself, and like my friend sitting over there, is also Afrikaner. Luckily, Tiny, you're not part of the deal anyway. Sorry, Tiny. But anyways, this White Israelites believe that the Afrikaner is the chosen race and that all other races are basically lost and accursed. And I remember one day I was walking into the Sikteris Packhouse and I was speaking with this friend. I don't even want to mention his name. But anyways, he came to me, and as we were speaking, he made the following statement. He was pointing with his finger like this. He said, Herman, you know, this Africans working in the Packhouse here, this Africans, Fani, you're listening, this Africans, he said, they are like the cattle of the field without souls. Just like that. They are like the cattle of the fields without souls. But friends, I want to encourage you. You know what? When God intervenes, when God does a work of salvation in your heart, you know what happens? Your outlook on life changes radically. You know, and as he was saying that to me, my reply was as follows. I said, you know what? God made all people in his image. Jesus Christ died for the sins of the whole world. And you know, when you go to 1 Timothy, there's a beautiful verse in 1 Timothy. It says that God desires all men to be saved. This is the heart's desire of God. God desires all men to be saved. And you know what happened? He got angry, people. I've never seen an Afrikaner so angry when I told him that. God desires all people to be saved. Friends, people are made in the image of God. That's our worth. And he was furious and he walked away. But friends, what about us? What about us? How do we treat people? How do we look at people that's different? You see, Paul's outlook was radically changed. He says, from now on, because of what Christ did on the cross, because one died for all, because of the love of Christ, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh. Friends, you know what? We are living in a time where people all around us, maybe your next door neighbor, the next person that you will meet, people are living without God and people are living without hope. We are living in a broken world where people desperately need the gospel. So friends, the cross of Christ reveals the love of God. Secondly, the cross of Christ results in that miracle of redemption. The cross of Christ results in salvation. Let's go to verse 17. Verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Friends, you know what? To be in Christ is our eternal security. Our only security in this world and for the eternity to come is to be in Christ. Because you know, when Christ died on that cross on Good Friday, when Christ died on the cross, He received God's punishment for my sin, for your sin, for the sins of the world. And secondly, you know, when I and you put our trust in Christ alone, the sinless Lamb of God, we are accepted by God because God will only accept the sacrifice of His Son. Now that's good news, friends. That's real good news. You know, I vividly remember in 1986, sometime back, in 1986, I vividly remember the Lord doing a work in my own heart. Just a quick testimony. I vividly remember that how the Holy Spirit convicted me of my wickedness and my depravity. And I remember how the Holy Spirit convicted me about the perfect righteousness of God. You see, this is the reality. I'm a wicked person. God is perfect in His righteousness. And you know what, friends? I knew that this God, in His holiness and in His righteousness, will punish sin. Friends, I want you to take note. God, as the righteous God, a righteous judge, will punish sin. And you know, friends, in 1986, I knew that Jesus Christ alone is my only hope. I shared with someone at my office yesterday. God gave me an opportunity to share the gospel with someone. I said, you know what? When the Lord saved me, I felt like a man drowning in the ocean. I was drowning. And then someone threw that reddingsbuoy. A reddingsbuoy? Life? Boy. Thank you, brother. Thank you very much. Life boy. And God threw that life boy. And what happened? Friends, when I saw that, I grabbed it. I embraced it. Friends, Jesus was my only hope. He alone died for my sin. And I could call out, I remember calling out, Lord Jesus, won't you please save me? Won't you please cleanse me? Won't you please make me your own? So friends, we are in Christ. You know, to be in Christ is to receive a new nature. We are not controlled by sin anymore. We don't belong to this to the devil anymore, but we've received a new master and we are on a new management. So this is the result of the cross of Christ. We are a new creation. Thirdly, and friends, this is wonderful. The cross of Christ glorifies God alone. The cross of Christ gives all the glory to God. Let's read verse 18 and verse 19. Verse 18. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Verse 19. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and He has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Friends, all these things are from God. All these things are from God. I praise God that He is the initiator, the sustainer, and He is the finisher, the completer. What do we read in Philippians? He that started a good work in you will complete it. Friends, you know what? All the glory belongs to God. You know, I've said in the beginning that Good Friday is about God reaching us, reaching out to us. It is God reaching out to us, a lost people, to reconcile us, to make us His own by the death of His Son on the cross. You know, when Jesus died on the cross, He removed the greatest obstacle to reconciliation. Very important to note. When Jesus died on the cross, He removed the greatest obstacle to reconciliation. And what is that obstacle? His righteous judgment on our sin and wickedness. You know what? This is the reality. When Jesus died on the cross, He removed the greatest obstacle, and that is His righteous judgment on our sin and wickedness, because only God could remove that, friends. Only God could remove that. So, to God be the glory, friends. Great things He has done. Friends, if you are in Christ, or let me rather say, if you are out of Christ, if you sit here this morning and you know what? I don't know Christ on a personal level. I've never met with Christ. I never have seen Him as my Savior. You know what? You're in trouble. Because that means that you still have that great obstacle standing in front of you. The righteous judgment of God on sinners. But friends, to God be the glory. If you are in Christ, if you have repented, if you have put your trust in Christ alone, God's anger and His righteous judgment has been put away. It's gone. Friends, this is wonderful news. It has been removed. Right, the next point. The cross of Christ calls us to be ambassadors for Christ. What a wonderful reality. The cross of Christ, friends, makes a Christian an ambassador for Christ so that we may spread the gospel. Verse 20. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you. Paul could also say, we plead with you, we beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Friends, you know, an ambassador is a person that represents his country and his leader in a foreign land. But friends, we are ambassadors. As Christians, we are called to be ambassadors, and we are called to represent the Lord Jesus Christ to a dying world. What a wonderful privilege. What a wonderful privilege. Friends, if you confess that you're a Christian, God has called you to be an ambassador, to represent Christ to a dying, sinful world. And this is our message. This is your message. Listen to this. We beg you, we plead with you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled with God. This is our message. Friends, you know, the cross of Christ is the power of God. Paul says, as though God were making an appeal through us. Friends, may we plead with people. May I be so bold as to ask the following question. When was the last time, my dear brother and sister in Christ, that you shared the gospel of Christ with someone? I don't want to make you feel guilty. I just want to share with you a reality. Friends, be encouraged. If you are in Christ, God will empower you to be an ambassador. God will empower you to share this message of love and hope and salvation, because Christ died for us, because Christ gave His life as a sacrifice. You know, what did Paul say in Romans chapter 1? Verse 16, Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God unto salvation for those who believe. So friends, remember, you are an ambassador. You ought to spread this good news that Christ died on the cross for our sins. First and foremost, by your life, your testimony, and then by your words. I want to close. Friends, lastly, the cross of Christ is the heart of the gospel. The cross of Christ is the heart of the gospel. Let's read the last verse, verse 21. He made Him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Oswald Chambers made the following statement. I want to read it for you. Oswald Chambers made the following statement. The heart of salvation is the cross of Christ. The reason salvation is so easy to obtain is that it cost God so much. The cross was the place where God and sinful men merged with a tremendous collision, and where the way of life was opened. But all the cost and pain of that collision was absorbed by the heart of God. What a wonderful statement about Good Friday. Friends, He made Him who knew sin to be sin on our behalf. On the cross, God treated Jesus as if He personally committed every sin of every person on this planet. And He received that righteous judgment on my behalf. And then we read, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Friends, if you put your trust in Christ, God treats you as if you are blameless and righteous. Now that's good news. I want to close with what John MacArthur said. You know, John MacArthur explained the perfect substitutionary sacrifice of God as follows. John MacArthur made this wonderful statement. On the cross, God treated Jesus as if He lived your life, so that God can treat you as if you lived the life of Jesus. That, my friends, is the heart of the gospel. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, may You help us to believe in You. To believe that You have died on the cross for our sins. Lord, help us to embrace You, to embrace the cross of Christ, so that we might receive, even in this morning, the greatest gift, forgiveness of sins and a new life in Christ. Lord, I humbly plead with You, help us to live and to love and to exalt Christ, and to plead with sinners, to beg with sinners to be reconciled with Christ. And Lord, I plead this and I ask this in Your most precious name. Amen.